scientific station there.
I'd like to be listened to.
We should send Marcus there for an outside broadcast.
Well, he wouldn't be able to book the ticket, would he?
Well, he would be able to book last year's ticket.
Or we could book him a ticket there, leave him to book the ticket back, and he might not make it back for next year.
It's not a terrible idea.
Serve out wide from Pesci Perico. Scoops up half volleys off his shoelaces. It puts Djokovic in control of the point. The Frenchman nets, and it's 15-all.
Bill in Chicago says, it's a beautiful, sunny 70 degrees Fahrenheit here today. Does anyone have Umpechi Pericard as their dark horse?
No, because he was drawn against Novak Djokovic in the first round.
Well, and also, he's very early on in his career, isn't he? He's, you know, he's still really learning his trade.
217 kilometre per hour, ace down the tee.
Emma's in Taunton, Somerset, in the West Country of the UK. She said it's baking hot. I nearly did a West Country accent there, but I pulled back.
But you only just pulled, it crept out a little bit.
Yeah, my partner grew up in Somerset and my brother-in-law's from Somerset. So it's not unknown for me to do a terrible West Country accent.
Novak Djokovic only ever lost twice in the first round of Grand Slam, which again is extraordinary. 79 wins, just the two defeats. Maybe that's a quiz question. Who are the two defeats to? Drop shot from Djokovic, brings in the Frenchman, scoops up, whips it cross court and past Novak Djokovic. That was a great get from Pesci Perricard.
He hasn't lost in the first round of a Grand Slam in the last 20 years.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? Which gives you a clue as to possibly, if you're looking for when he did, what years you've got to go back to.
Yes, a little hint there. And actually, quite a small man who he lost to. It's another hint.
One of them was. The other one was quite big.
Yes, that's true.
The other one was massive.
The most recent one, I think, was
the
quite...
The other one, yeah. Not the little one, yeah. Is currently a coach on tour.
Yes, that's very true.
Look at this. Oh, I've now got
clues strewn around like confetti.
Got pictures of foxes on my computer screen. It's not ideal. And Pesci Perricard serving. I mean, it's ridiculous, the serve, and he holds to 15. 225 kilometres per hour. He's warmed up and ready. And it is 3-all, first set with 17 minutes played.
Nothing like testing your much talked about serve against arguably the greatest returner of all time. I'd give a nod to Andre Agassi in that conversation, but the Djokovic return is an extraordinary thing, and it's going to get tested this evening.
Yeah.
Have you managed to get your computer working?
I got rid of the foxes.
Oh, okay. Where they came from. I think that's on the wallpaper of the landing screen, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, you had them too?
I did have them, yeah, and then Stefan had to fix the computer.
Djokovic from Ace from Djokovic. Perfectly placed down the tee. Fritz has got a point to get a game on the board in the fourth.
Richard in Brisbane has been in touch about the weather. Bonsoir, ladies. Hello, hello from Australie. Yep. It's definitely not balmy here, but not overly chilly either. Just yet here in Brisbane, but it soon will be. I've just ordered a team beanie from the Carlton Football Club, so I'll be ready. Well, I have to tell you, Richard, that my family in Australia is a Collingwood family. And Carlton and Collingwood are great rivals. How lovely to hear you both on Radio Roland Garros again. Thank you, Richard.
Squash shot forehand cross court from Pesci Perricard, who flattens out the forehand down the line for the outright win of 15-all. Oh, dear.
That was a bit half-hearted, wasn't it?
That was awful, wasn't it?
Yeah. You've got to commit to something like that, don't you?
Yeah, you can't, yeah. And it got a laugh rather than the continuation of it, which is not what was expected. Djokovic down the tee. Blocked back, floated off the backhand side. Shortboard Djokovic should punish it. He does. And he moves to 30-15, 3-all, first set. Pete is sitting on his dock in Lake Michigan. On Lake Michigan. Not in it, on it.
Well, the dock might be on it.
Yeah, well, he said he's sitting on the dock on Lake Michigan. Not in it. on it.
If he'd be in it, he'd probably struggle to message us. And it might not be his first thing to do as he's sinking.
Three all, 30-15. Djokovic serves that wide. Again, it's blocked back. The overhead from Djokovic snapped down onto the racket of Pesci Perico, who keeps getting it back. And then Pesci Perico was off balance, so it's game points. Something I noted, have you ever seen Stefan in trousers? I haven't until today.
He's resplendent in linen today.
But he's never worn trousers before. That sounds wrong. He's normally in shorts.
I feel like I've stumbled into something here, and I'm stumbling back out again.
Oh, dear. Game points for 4-3. Djokovic serves down the tee into the net. It's another hold. We've had very comfortable holds all the way to 7 games on the board with 21 minutes played.
And Marcus has a fan. Luisa and Bronwyn, who is a spaniel.
Who's a spaniel?
Bronwyn is the dog, Luis is the human.
And who's the fan of Marcus, the dog or the person?
Well, it's not 100% clear. Greetings from Hollywood, California. I'm assuming this is Luisa doing the emailing, though, not the dog. Where it's mercifully grey, overcast and a comfortable 19 centigrade, 66 Fahrenheit. Lovely to have you all on air again for another Roland Garros. Did I hear Marcus Buckland is absent this year? Say it isn't so. Thanks for being there and stay hydrated.
He was absent today because his football team narrowly survived relegation from the Premier League. So we felt it was better if he was far away from the radio while events on the final day of the Premier League were unfolding.
Yes, I don't think he was managing his stress very well about the football. So it was probably best that he went and
stressed it out somewhere else.
He
will be back on tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock. We are reuniting Marcus with Antoine.
Dream team.
It's a good combo.
It is a good combo.
GD says, in my pool in sunny Rockland, California. Ooh. Trying to find ways not to go and mow the front lawn.
That sounds like a very good idea, doesn't it? Lying in a pool.
Better than mowing a lawn, I'd say. Oh, another rocket rifle down the centre line from the Frenchman.
Do you have a lawn? I mean, obviously, as an empress, you probably have lawns. Multiple.
Acres.
Rolling hills.
You have to use one of those sit-on things to...
Oh, I really want a sit-on mower.
Do you have enough to...
No.
No.
It would be forward, back, forward, back.
Three-point turn. Fifteen, love, 3-4. Nothing to choose between these two as they race through the games. Mid-court ball from Djokovic, didn't get enough on that. Then he flattens out the backhand through the middle. Inside and miss. Just pulled the trigger. And I think Basavareddy has won. Yes, he has. Nishesh Basavareddy, 6-1. In the fourth, 3 hours, 22, he takes out the seventh seed Taylor Fritz, but we have to put the asterisk by Taylor Fritz. He had a big chunk out from Miami. Only returned to the last event, knee problem, so he has to work his way back in.
Yes, and he's not a natural clay court player. No. So all of those factors. But at the same time, we have to credit the win, and it will go on as a top 10 win. And you can only beat who's in front of you. So all of those mitigating factors, but a win is a win.
Win's a win.
I mean, we've had a few players, haven't we, coming in a little cold. Not literally, obviously, given the temperatures as they are. But, you know, we saw a loss for Emma Raducanu earlier, of course. Now, she is somebody who hasn't had very many matches at all in recent months. She's been suffering from a virus. Taylor Fritz, as we've been talking about. And in front of us here, Novak Djokovic. Very, very undercooked, as they say.
Yeah. Game points for 4-4, and we've said that Djokovic is undercooked on clay. This is just his second match on clay. It's only the fourth for the Frenchman this year, and of those three, he's only won one. Blocked back by Djokovic into the middle of the court. 1-2 punch set up perfectly by the seven. Would you believe we've had another hold of serve? 25 minutes played, four games all. Business end of the first set. Now, on that occasion, the response was awful.
The crowd let him down.
Because I think you said you've got to commit to it, and I think he did.
I think he did commit to it, but the response was
very lackluster.
Oh, no.
It was Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Frenchman on court, Djokovic on court.
A bit better, but still a 6 out of 10.
I think because it was a young boy, I think they gave it some welly there.
Little bit. Mm.
Game number 9, nothing to choose between them, flying through as they are. First meeting between these two, 22-year-old Giovanni Pericard. Fourth consecutive Roland Garros main draw appearance for the Frenchman. Djokovic with his forehand sort of lofts it and places it down the line. The one-handed backhand from the Frenchman up the line. Then it's a stretch to his backhand again. Djokovic is pummeling that backhand win. No switches to the forehand. The Frenchman does not get the racket on that as he would have liked, and he misses the court. Incredible if, and we're a long way to go, should Impecha Pericard win this, he'd be the first Frenchman to earn a top 10 win at Roland Garros since 2016.
It's a lot, isn't it?
Because there's a lot of Frenchmen rolling around the ears. And that's the first one since Gasquet beat sixth seed Nishikori in 2016.
And that was in the fourth round. Yeah. I mean, in some ways, you could look at that stat and say it's quite damning, French players. But actually, you've got to remember that a lot of the French players that play here are wild cards. They're not expected to beat top 10 players. They're much lower ranked than the people they're playing.
Monfils, Songa, Gasquet. I mean, Gilles Simon, you know, there's been some pretty good standard of Frenchmen.
Yeah. You're right. And it's hard to know what the explanation is. You'd have to go through each individual match and understand why.
Well, is it the home slam thing?
I think it might be in some cases. It might just be that, you know, that the player was better than them on the day, that it wasn't a good matchup for them. It might be that, you know, they're still going to be higher ranked in most cases.
Djokovic has weaved his way to the net. He's got game points. He smashes away. It's got back by Impecha Pericard. It's touched over by Djokovic. It's a hole to love. Neither player is bothered a jot on their serve at the moment. 5-4 on serve. So the first bit of interest, I think, will come when they resume, because while they are on serve, Impecha Pericard will also be serving to stay in the set.
So that little bit of scoreboard pressure will come in, won't it? And that's where the crowd can help them, can't they? Because they'll just start to get a bit more vocal.
Now, Chris Bowes has appeared, and I'm wondering if he didn't read the rota or he's come to raid the snack box. Which one do you think it is?
I hope he's bought his binoculars.
I think he's come to raid the snack box. Maybe just missed us. I thought that was the third one.
It could be that, be that, or the Tim Tams.
I'm still going Tim Tams. He will leave with something. Bit of Dolly Parton.
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news.
Radio Roland Garros.
Listen again, replay.
One of the great songs of all time.
Yes, it is.
We approve of this music choice.
Quite nice to just listen to it sometimes. Not telling you not to talk.
Don't talk when Dolly's singing. Have some respect.
Right, well, here we go. Will this scoreboard pressure tell on the Frenchman with the booming serve? Haven't even played for half an hour yet. Oh, Djokovic having the word of his box.
And waving his racket at them. Not an aggressive way, just in a slightly tetchy way.
Slightly irritated. We've slightly irritated Djokovic on our hands. 4-5. Oh, it's just ridiculous, isn't it? It's out wide this time for the ace, 205 kilometres per hour.
It's in some ways a little bit of a throwback, isn't it, to have somebody who can be so dominant on serve. Reminds me of the 1990s, where you had players who would just, you know, thud ace after service winner after ace after service winner. Not like so much this. On this surface, but certainly on grass.
Back-to-back aces for the Frenchman, being watched by Joe Wilfried Tsonga, who's in the crowd, also got his TV commitments these days. He works for Amazon here.
He was here for the tribute evening to mark the retirement of Gael Monfils.
Who hasn't retired yet.
Who hasn't retired yet. But there was a celebration of his career.
There we go.
On Thursday last week.
Pesci Perricard takes it on the forehand and cuts it inside out. He'll keep up the forehand, the Frenchman. He's so far run around his forehand now. So now he has to play that one-handed backhand, sort of slices it over, double-handed backhand flat from Djokovic, up the line from Pesci Perricard. The pick-up from Novak Djokovic, and Pesci Perricard will let it bounce. Slam it from the back of the court, and he'll find the back edge of the line.
That one-hander down the line is a very effective shot. And the crowd now, as we said, just getting a bit more vocal.
We showed a little bit of everything there.
Yeah, he's not one-dimensional, is he? He just has a great serve. But there are plenty of other elements, and you can see why his coaching team is now working on just developing all of those parts.
Currently the French number 3.
Massive.
Game points for 5-5. Service return winner, Djokovic read it as Pesci Perricard was sort of lumbering towards the net off the back of the serve.
It's a bold move, serving and volleying against Novak Djokovic on clay. But you can see why he did it, just to break up the pattern and try something different.
Yeah, he wasn't very convincing as he came forward on that occasion. Still got game points for 5-5. I feel sorry for the net. Takes another couple of balls from the ball girl. She comes forward. Which one don't you want? He has the ball of choice. Twists the racket in the right hand. Starts the bouncing of the ball. Ball meets face of the racket. Tosses it up and slams it into the net. Djokovic still keeping his distance. Actually, he's going even further back towards the line judges at the back of the court. There's a double fault. That's interesting. The little mix-up from Djokovic deciding to step even further back.
Just giving his opponent something to think about. And when we talk about the experience of players like Djokovic, I mean, there aren't any players as experienced as Djokovic around, considering all of his accomplishments and the number of Grand Slam finals he's played and so on. But that's what we mean. It's that knowing just how to just make the right move at the right time.
40-30 is a rare scoreline in this first set. Got another go at this first serve. Djokovic has decided to go even further back. Now he steps a little bit closer, but not much. Wide stance, bend in the knee, jumps up, slams the ball. What a serve that was, mixing it up down the tee, point one.
I don't think anybody could have returned that serve.
Oh, I've got the foxes again.
On your computer screen, yes. Just so we're clear.
Oh, sorry. Five all. And on we go. Djokovic is waiting for a cameraman to wander past with his equipment. Pesci Perricard leaning forward, swaying the top half of his body, legs still, with a bend in the knee, the top half moving, now bounces up on his toes. He cuts back that return through the middle of the court. The forehand whipped into the corner from Djokovic. Djokovic with the forehand, just slamming the forehand wing now. It's just sort of stuck the racket out on that occasion. And Pesci Perricard, who lays into that one-handed backhand. Another one-hander from Pesci Perricard. He's flipping it now to the forehand of the Frenchman, who tries to let rip a little bit more. He's thundering these forehands, but the defence of Djokovic will eventually break down. Boy, was he clubbing that ball.
Well, because he knows that's how he's going to win this match, really, is using those ground strokes. They are superior. He needs to get Pesci Perricard into rallies. Start moving him around, start dictating. Gigi's had to ask for IT support.
No, I didn't. The IT support just appeared. There was no asking. I'm very happy. Well, he actually told me, as the return of service blocked back from Pesci Perricard inside the baseline for the winner goes Djokovic for 15 all, he actually told me that the scrappy piece of paper with the password I might be looking for, I don't need it because he's actually printed out some little labels for us that was right beneath my eye.
Oh. Looking but not looking.
Probably need your glasses.
I mean, you want my spare glasses?
I love that you have your spare glasses here.
I work on the basis that I'm probably going to forget them at some stage. And also, there are a few other people in this team who might benefit from the odd pair of spare reading glasses
lying
looking around.
At Chris? Why are you looking
I'm looking at both of you.
Why are you looking at Chris?
Simon, Marcus.
15 or 5 or. Djokovic down the tee. Tried to sabre it there, Pesci Perricard. Running forward, misses the court, pushes it long. 30-15. I don't know what Stefan's done, but I think I'm not going to see the foxes anymore, which is good news.
No one saw any foxes, Gigi. It was just you.
Just kept seeing them. Day one, it's worrying. If you need your spare glasses and I'm seeing foxes on day one. 30-15, 5-all, Radio Roland Garros served down the tee. Just pop back over the court. In comes Djokovic. Djokovic plays the backhand. Oh, a little bit too casual. Top of the tape, bounces back his own side.
He can't afford to be that casual at this point of this first set. And was that a little moment of rustiness from Djokovic?
Five all. 36 minutes played. Night session. The first night session at this year's Roland Garros. Missed down the tee. So touch more pressure. Pesci Perricard step. Well, no, he's going backwards now. A little bit more backwards. Swaying. He really leans forward. Clutching the racket in both hands. Swaying from side to side. It's quite a sort of... It's not a natural movement. And there's a double fault. Came from absolutely nowhere. And we have the lesser spotted break point in this first set. 37 minutes played and it goes the way of the Frenchman.
These things are precious. What can Pesci Perricard do here? He's been working on his return of serve. We know that. Can he take advantage of this little wobble from Novak Djokovic?
Fair bit of bouncing. 10 seconds on the clock. Gets the first serve, kicks up the backhand, sits up deep. Inside in, Djokovic's push back, and Pesci Perricard tries to go back behind. Djokovic is there with the backhand. Inside in. Very deep, these balls from the Frenchman. He's coming forward. He's at the net. Can he volley? No, he can't make the volley. Did so well.
Well, the longer that rally went on, the more you felt it was slipping from the Frenchman's grasp. Djokovic just so good off the ground, and at one point hitting the ball with both feet off the clay, and you could see why Pesci Perricard wanted to come to the net and just try and really force the advantage, but he perhaps didn't quite choose the right shot to do that on. Certainly wasn't up to that volley. It was a difficult volley. It wasn't an easy put away.
Juice. Right, he's got the shot clock down to 5. Gets the serve away, misses down the tee. Ball girl scoops it up at the back of the court, back into position. Djokovic, little look. Remember, no shot clock between the first and second, so he could bounce away to his heart's content. Second serve goes more centre of the box. The point is replaced back down the line. And Pesci Perricard keeps the forehand, goes inside out with the forehand. Wow, that was a heavy old forehand from the Frenchman.
Yep, cramped Novak Djokovic up, didn't it, on that backhand side.
Sixth minute. of the 11th game and a second opportunity for the Frenchman to break. Should he break here, he will serve for the first set. Bouncing complete. Ooh, it's a second serve now. Pesci Perricar will keep his distance though. If anything, a touch further back. Djokovic, break point down at 5-all. Break here. The threat will be, the set will be under threat. Djokovic serves. That one kicks at the forehand. Is placed back, inside out forehand. The backhand, oh, he was looking to tee off for the line. Misses, and we are back to deuce.
He has played that backhand down the line, that one-hander of his, very well, but not on that occasion. Just perhaps getting a little bit tight in the moment. If he can break, this crowd is really going to make some noise. You can feel they're on edge. They're just warming up, aren't they? Ready, any moment.
Deuce. Gets the first serve. The backhand is placed back into play. The off forehand from Djokovic, who scampers behind the baseline, goes inside out again to that one-hander of the Frenchman. Nets. Djokovic nets. Didn't seem to move his feet. Didn't get into position. A third opportunity for Giovanni and Pesci Perricar to break the serve of Novak Djokovic.
Djokovic just looking a little flustered at this point.
Looking a little bit irritated. He'll be looking for that first serve once the bouncing is complete. Missed out wide. He's going to come forward.
I think that's reasonable. I looked into the naked eye.
This is the one. It's good.
Oh, it's good.
This is the one. You see it?
I don't think he's entirely convinced, but has to accept it.
First serve, yeah. But the call is there at the same time.
Oh, hang on.
The call is there at the same time. It's not the late call. The call comes straight.
Explaining to know that Djokovic had his hands on hips and he came forward. I enjoy line judges, umpires out of chairs, looking at marks.
For exactly that reason, yeah. Because it creates drama, it creates tension, it's part of the spectacle. And Djokovic just thinking he should have got a point there and instead he's got a first serve.
Break point down, 5-all first set. Serve down the tee. It's just pushed back into the middle of the court. The forehand down the line. Djokovic should about coming forward, but he scampers back. Oh, it's long. It is long from the Frenchman. Djokovic marks the mark, and we're back to deuce.
Well, slightly provocative from Djokovic there, because it was very clearly long. Nobody was questioning it, and yet he made a very pointed little circle around the mark, pointed at it.
He's a little bit irritated.
A little bit irritated, and the crowd are... They're not loving it, but they're loving it at the same time, aren't they? In the way that the crowd can be here at Roland Garros. They love to be involved and they love to get under the opponent's skin when someone is playing a French player. And that doesn't matter if you're Novak Djokovic or anybody else.
Oh, my word. Short midcourt ball from Djokovic. And it was slammed back inside out by Giovanni and Pesci Perricar. Is he going to make one of these breakpoint opportunities count?
Well, that's
poor
not,
old Chris has been standing here for hours now. I don't know if you're watching or you want to speak to us or... No, he doesn't want to speak to us.
No.
Oh, you see.
Could have broken it to us more gently than that.
I think he wanted the snacks, but when we pointed out, I feel he can't go for the snacks. Till he leaves. You can grab a seat if you like, Chris. Sit. No, he doesn't want to sit down.
I think he's been very clear he doesn't want to speak to us.
Or sit down. Or have a snack. Just wants to watch. I almost feel he wants us to stop talking.
There we go, talking over the tennis again.
Just want to watch. Breakpoint. Giovanni Pesciopereco, who swivels around, plays the inside left one, sort of places that ball. Backhand cross court from Djokovic. The one-handed flick cross court from Pesciopereco. Another backhand. This one down the line. They're into the middle of the court. Back up the line from Djokovic. The cut under the ball from the Frenchman. She's just pummeling the Frenchman's backhand now. What does Djokovic do? Gives him another backhand. Go on then, play it again. He's placing these backhands now. A forehand from Pesciopereco drops over. These just mid-court balls from the Frenchman. He lays that backhand down the line. Now forehand. When's he going to tee off? Oh, he's done it! He leaves Djokovic standing. He was taunting the Frenchman, saying, come on, place that ball, go for it. He went for it. He breaks the serve, and very shortly he serves the first set at 6-5. Just felt like he was taunting. He said, come on then, come on then, come on then. And he did.
Yeah, that backfired, didn't it, from Djokovic?
A strange point from Djokovic.
Oh, I think he actually, in his irritation, almost scrambled his own brain. And again, that's one of those moments, that is rustiness, that is, you know, he's not match tight. You can forget what to do in those moments. You know, that instinctive.
As a 24-time Grand Slam champion, can you forget what to do in those moments?
I think in those split-second decisions, yes, you can.
Well, the music's taken a turn, isn't it, from Dolly.
It's become a little more
aggressive, isn't it? They're trying to get Pesciopereco, because he doesn't show a lot of emotion, the big guy, just cracks on with it. But they're trying to say, come on then, we're going to get things going for you. Because when you stand up, you are serving to take the first set off the 24-time Grand Slam champion. Right, the big band's in position. In front of the presidential tribune, 6-5. Can he hold his nerve and serve? And take the first set. Now, what have we all been saying about Novak Djokovic? Yes, he can go on a run. Yes, he can go deep. Possibly, potentially, maybe even get to the final or win it. But he's got to conserve energy. In these early rounds, he does not want to be battling it out there for hours and hours. Although this has been quite a quick set. 46 minutes.
Djokovic just taking a turn around the back of the court as the crowd just take a little while to settle.
Oh, it's a big serve, isn't it? Oh, and he just cuts the ball short. Thinking very clearly.
Well, it's a nice straightforward play, that. Mm. If you serve that big, you can serve in volley. You can come in and just put that high backhanded put away into the court.
He just touched it in rather than sort of slamming it and giving Djokovic a chance. Just touched it. Didn't need to go into anything too big. Serve had done the job, done the damage. Backhand return for Djokovic, the half volley. But that's a lovely return to the feet of Pesciopereco. No. 15-6-5. I'd like to get in touch with us at @radio_RG. We're very interested to know where you're listening. We've had someone in a plane, someone sinking in a lake, a couple of others. Serve down the tee. Big serve. Mid-court ball should finish it off. Does finish it off.
You're also giving us your weather reports from around the world, what the temperature is doing where you are.
Oh, that's true.
What you're doing where you are. And we love to hear it. We love to have a kind of virtual map of where all our listeners are and what they're doing.
6-5, 30-15. Oh, my word. 223 kilometre per hour serve out wide, kicks up off the clay, and with it brings up the opportunity for Giovanni and Pesciopereco to close out set one. Remember, we'll be hearing from Marta Kostyuk at the conclusion. This set spoke very emotionally, spoke very well after her first round win today. Ah, it's ridiculous. It wasn't that fast by his standards, but it was very accurate, it was very direct, it was unreturned, and with it, he closes out the set. So, 49 minutes played, Giovanni Pesciopereco, 7-5, the first set. Listening to Radio Roland Garros, now, as promised, let us listen in to Marta Kostyuk. This was her speaking in her press conference after coming through in her first round, but it wasn't about the match, it was events that had taken place earlier that day in her homeland of Ukraine.
I'm very happy with the performance today. Happy I played first. Was obviously a little bit hot, but sorry for everyone who is playing in the afternoon today. Yeah, but I think the match was really good. Happy with how I performed, with my performance.
You made quite an emotional speech at the end of the match. Could you give us perhaps a few more details about what happened this morning to next to your parents' house?
Well, I have this picture of my parents' house and everything around it. I don't have a video, but yeah, this is what I received at 8 in the morning today. I had to live through it and deal with it and go out and play. I didn't know what to expect from myself. I didn't know how my focus is going to be, how I'm going to be able to, you know, control my emotions or my thoughts. And there were obviously times in the match when I would go back in, like, to thinking about it, because most of the morning I felt sick just from a thought that if it was 100 meters closer, I probably wouldn't have a mom and a sister today. And it was really difficult to just process it so quick and also go out and play. That's why I'm also very happy that I played first match, because I don't know what would be the outcome if I played last, for example. It's tough, but I'm very proud of myself today, of how we all handled it, and you know, happy to be in the second round and that everyone is alive.
You did play an underarm serve in the second set. Why did you choose that shot, and what's your opinion about the underarm serve?
Well, sometimes I look at Sandra and she shows me that I should go underarm, because it's a good moment to do it, and I agree it was a good moment to do it. I think if you can do it, why not use it? It's still in practice. Sometimes I want it to be too short or too like an ace, actually. It's not easy to achieve, but I'm happy to. When I have space in the match, I love to do it, and it always surprises players.
James, Eleanor, then to Marta, with everything that went on this morning, did you ever just consider pulling out and just not playing?
Well, not this morning, because obviously everyone is healthy, alive, out of the hospital, never was in the hospital. So these things, you know, it's difficult, but none of my close friends or people I know is injured or dead, you know. So it's obviously would be much more challenging and more difficult. I don't want to think what I would do if something worse happened, but I knew that this is the day to go out and play, and it didn't cross my mind today that I shouldn't go out, because, you know, at the end of the day, everyone is, you know, alive, everything is good.
Night session on Radio Roland Garros.
Radio Roland Garros.
Marta Kostyuk speaking very well and very emotionally. It is incredible how she is able to firstly channel what's going on in terms of her strength into her matches, and also compartmentalize to allow her to go out and play those matches.
I think most of us are fortunate enough not to even be able to imagine the stress of that, and the situation to have that going on in your home country, let alone to wake up and hear that bombs have landed 100 meters from your parents' house in Kyiv. Well, that's it is unimaginable, and she did an amazing job to handle the stress. It was going to be stressful enough, because having won Madrid, Kostyuk was probably for the first time in her career coming into this tournament with people talking about her being a potential champion, and she was already dealing with an element of tennis stress, so to add in that enormous real life stress is, as I said, it's extraordinarily impressive. And I like, one of the things I like about Kostyuk is that she speaks really eloquently about it, and she's not afraid to be real and to talk about the situation in Ukraine. And in fact, actually, she's positively and proactively wants to talk about the situation in Ukraine to keep it in the public eye. And it's almost this kind of, she feels a public service in doing that for the people of Ukraine, so they know they're not forgotten. And I think the same has to be said of Elena Svitolina.
Yeah.
I think they've both done an amazing job of fundraising, looking after young players from Ukraine, keeping tennis in Ukraine going, and also giving people in Ukraine something to cheer on and something to be happy and positive about in what must be an extraordinarily difficult situation.
Yeah, no, absolutely. She came through. I think she was the third winner today.
A dark horse of one or two people on the Radio Roland Garros team. She was very nearly my dark horse, I have to say, but I went Zhang Qinwen in the end.
Won the Olympic gold here. That only just knocked through.
In these sorts of conditions.
That only just knocked very through warm. As being allowed. First game has come and gone without... Yes? Just without incident.
Just going to raise a small point
about Djokovic, about yes.
Gael Fonseca being allowed when Anton only picked him when he was two sets and 5-1 up.
But how far has he ever gotten a Grand Slam?
It's not bad. It's picking after the draws, not just after the draws been made, but after people have started actually almost winning matches.
Drop shot. Oh, Giovanni Pochettino. But if... So I'm in a no-win situation. If I'd said, so I've allowed him that, and everyone's like, oh, you've allowed him that. Oh. If I hadn't allowed, oh, I can't believe you haven't allowed him. That's really not nice of you. So I couldn't, so I thought I'd be nice and say, of course you can have Gael Fonseca, because is he really going to, he might face Novak Djokovic very shortly. So then we have Antoine against Marcus.
I take your point.
15, love, 15, love one.
And that was the sound of Novak Djokovic trying to return a serve. And as I said, one of the greatest returners of serve of all time. And that's the noise he has to make just to try and get racket on ball against the Pesci Pericard serve.
Stefan's just been switching me off. It's only day one.
Yes, I'll the 10 euro notes, just you'll find it just there from me, Stefan.
Day one. 30 love. Still light outside, but the floodlights understandably on because it is coming up to 9:30 in the evening and the serve doing its job for the Frenchman.
We've got lots of your... Sorry, go on.
No, Carol.
I was just going to say, we've got lots of your emails and we will get to them. We just needed to stay with that really fascinating, twisty, turny end of that first set.
It was such venom that Djokovic just slapped it off return, shot into the crowd, bounced back, and that was a hold of serve. So Giovanni Pesci-Pericard lost in his first match in Geneva to Stefanos Tsitsipas, who needed to be wild-carded into the Geneva event. That just tells you how things have changed. 82 in the rankings, Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Somebody's picked him as their dark horse. Was it Simon? Maybe Chris. Yeah, have a check. I mean, well, there's a sort of famous tennis cliche, isn't there, that form is temporary and class is permanent. And he's still a classy player. He's still very talented.
Djokovic with double-handed backhand leaps up into the air. The sliding backhand cross court, the drop shot from Djokovic. Side, oh, and Pesci-Pericard got there but slid into his bench and then hit the net post. Chris
picks him.
Men's cheval sinistre.
I mean, it's extraordinary to think, isn't it, that Tsitsipas was so close to winning the Roland Garros title here and against Djokovic. And
two sets up.
If you'd have told anybody at that moment that was sort of going to be the peak. And I mean, there might still be wonderful things to come, but so far in his career, that's the peak. I think we felt it was going to be the start of something, the start of a Grand Slam winning career, and that hasn't quite materialised. I mean, he's had it...
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news. Radio Roland Garros. Listen again, replay.
A few changes, hasn't he, in his off-court life in terms of switching agents and moving things around in terms of his coaching situation, moving away from his dad, then back to his dad, and then away from his dad. And so
relationship changes.
There's just been quite a lot of change and turmoil going on in the background, and it's almost as if tennis has been happening, but not, it hasn't been front and center. That could be unfair.
It's a tricky one. I'd like to see him come back. He had put a few good matches together in Madrid. We thought, well, hang on a sec, what's happening here? And it didn't work out in Rome. And now it's got good again, hasn't it?
Pointer sisters.
We had that weird moment when they were trying to, I think, G up and Petri Perica. But now, the dog photos have started coming in.
Oh.
Laura, listening from Asheville, while walking the dog. But it's a gif of the dog, and the dog looks quite sad, as in unhappy. Look at the way the head is bobbing. Can you have a look? Please tell me you know what I'm saying. No, look, don't look at the ones we've... Look at the ones that have been sent to us. You're on the wrong thing. Look at notifications. And because the dog is nodding in the picture, it looks... Do you know what I mean?
Yes, because the dog is nodding very slowly.
It looks unhappy.
Well, I think what the dog is saying is, can we carry on with the walk? Please, can you stop taking photos of me? It's a very cute dog.
It's just the nodding bit that's a bit unnerving.
Emily has messaged in. She says, hello, Lady Eleanor and Empress Gigi. I've been eagerly anticipating this day, and I woke up at an ungodly hour this morning to hear the start of your coverage. Hearing your voices is like reuniting with old friends. Oh. Keep up the good work, as always. Emily's in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Thank you, Emily.
And Emily says, I don't know if you remember me from the past, but I'm the triplet who's written in previously, and all three of us enjoy your coverage. I do remember you, Emily, and I do remember your sisters.
What are they called then?
I'm sure Emily knows what her sisters are called, Gigi. Don't try and catch her out.
Ace down the two. Oh. Down the tee it goes. The slap back. Oh, my word. The off forehand... winner from Petri Perica. Are you hoping Emily's typing really quickly with the names of her sisters? That you remember?
No, I'm going to read this email from Annette. Annette says, it's a cool, damp afternoon in Millersville, Maryland.
Maryland?
59 degrees Fahrenheit, 15 degrees centigrade. Thrilled to be listening to the Empress and Lady E with my little guy, Forrest Whitaker, who is a dog.
What kind of dog? Oh, no, I'll start. Sorry. No, I don't want dog pictures.
No. I like dog pictures. Dog pictures are fine. 2 weeks of Radio Roland Garros is pure joy. Thank you all. Well, thank you, Annette.
Do you remember where there was a phase where people sent us chicks wearing crocheted ponchos?
I do remember that. That was a theme, wasn't it?
How does that become a theme? Slapped return, service return winner from Djokovic to get himself on the board in the fourth game. Petri Perica won the first set 7-5. Things have been smooth sailing for both into the back end of the set. And now points for 2-2 in the second after an hour and 2 minutes.
Dave's listening in Austin, Texas. Many thanks to the Radio Roland Garros team for the excellent coverage. I'm working 9 to 5 like Dolly Parton. I've been curious to see why there's more cramping from male players compared to female players, even in the best 2 out of 3 set matches. Male players seem to cramp more often. Thoughts? It's an interesting one, Dave. I haven't necessarily registered that.
But it's true. It feels like it's true. I can't remember the last time I saw a female player cramp, but I can give you many examples of men cramping.
Even in best of three matches, yeah.
Talking recently through the Masters.
Yeah. Be interesting to know the physiological reasons for that. You know, we're only just starting to sort of scratch the surface of sports science research in terms of the difference between male and female bodies under physical stress. There's a lot of really interesting research in that area.
Djokovic comes forward, drives the volley out of there. It's popped back by Pesci Perego. He's got such a casual way about him, hasn't he? Then he lofts up the backhand, but cannot control that. And it's 2-all, 15-love on the Djokovic serve. The dog's called Pinky, you know, the nodding dog.
Oh. That was a very lacklustre ole, by the way.
They've all been pretty bad this evening.
Yeah. The first part was good, then.
Ace from Djokovic down the tee. No, the first bit had been good because they're trying to get a response and no one is getting a response.
Bob says, I'm cleaning house before my wife comes back after a week away. We've all been there, Bob.
How much cleaning is there to do, Bob? A lot, I'm thinking.
I live with an extremely tidy man. I am the person who
You're
would be tidying
tidy,
up.
Are you? Messy, are you?
Not now, no, because I've lived with him for quite a long time.
We're only on day one of living together. As Djokovic misses the drive volley wide.
No, I'm not. I'm not naturally... I'm certainly very clean. I'm not naturally super tidy in terms of my desk or things like that.
Oh, okay. Game points Djokovic for 3-2. Serve down the tee, block back off the backhand side. Djokovic approaches the heavy forehand inside in. The winner moves to 3-2.
But it would certainly be me tidying the house before Mark came home versus the other way around.
Right.
Because the house would already be tidy. And also, I probably wouldn't notice either way.
Well, you're very lucky to live with someone who's so tidy.
I am very lucky. Do you not live with...
I was about to say, that sounds, well, with twin 10-year-old boys, tidy is a word they don't know. I've been away a fair bit with work, and it's one of those, when I go back, I want to put everything in the washing machine, and I open the laundry room where it is, and the washing machine is just stuffed full of everything that's been worn that week. So I was getting to the washing. So it's, I think, three fellas in a house is
it's a lot.
Is challenging. One of my eldest is probably the tidiest of the three, and that's including my other half. He doesn't lose anything.
I'm glad that you clarified, because I thought you were talking about your other half as the eldest, describing you.
Yeah, the eldest of the young ones is very tidy, but the other two, the even older one, the younger one, quite messy, I would say. I might not be the tidiest, but I never lose anything.
I lose things all the time, which is why I have spare glasses here.
No, I don't lose anything.
You don't want to touch wood when you say that?
Mm. Well, I can, but... We've got four matches ago. Sorana Casteja is on court.
She's had a good little run, hasn't she?
A retirement run.
Yes, it's almost as if the shackles are off.
She's kind of said that when asked her in Rome, and she said, yeah, there's a comfort in knowing that she's achieved many things. She's very happy with what she's achieved, and she's looking to the future.
Well, and she's significantly helped her retirement fund, hasn't she, with all those wins and topping up the prize money.
That's true.
I mean, there are lots of parallels with Danielle Collins, aren't there, where she announced her retirement and then proceeded to have arguably the best run of her career.
Oh, Arthur Fils is in the crowd. Unfortunately, he had to pull out with an injury, so he's still not sure if it's hip or lower back. Doesn't think it's the same as the stress fracture he suffered when he was hit last year, but it's good to see him outside. On court, supporting Giovanni and Pesci Perego.
Yes, it is, because I'm sure in lots of ways it's probably quite painful to be here, literally and figuratively. But, you know, to... In another lifetime, he must have come in here as a contender for the title. You know, he's a player who has lots of excitement around him, and he's really...
Radio Roland Garros. Radio Roland Garros will be with you from 11 local time, broadcasting live from Paris, bringing you ball-by-ball commentary, exclusive interviews, and all the very latest news. Radio Roland Garros. Listen again, replay.
Could possibly be.
He's going to not like his chance of Giovanni. You're right, it doesn't have that ring to it, does it? It's a bit clunky.
No, but see, Greg Rusetsky calls him Joe.
Joe?
Hmm. Which would scan better in some of these chants.
Yeah, because it's a long old name to say.
Yes, I noticed they're not doing the surname in any of the chants. Yeah.
I mean, I've said Frenchman quite a lot.
We both have.
Start of game number 9. Djokovic just looking very irritated right now. He's serving towards the presidential tribune and the respective boxes. Not really a spare seat to be had, or very few, when you think it is 10 o'clock on a Sunday night for most people. Work beckons tomorrow. Is it a holiday tomorrow, Stefan? It is a holiday tomorrow. Right, they can all stay then.
It's good of you to give them that time off.
Because it's a holiday in the UK, isn't it? It's Bank Holiday Monday.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Yeah. Serve down the tee. Snap back by Impeshi Perricard. Backhand cross court from Djokovic. Inside in. That's why there was a gasp, because it's ridiculous at times. Ooh, but then it goes from the ridiculous to the not so great. Imagine a mixed doubles of Impeshi Perricard and Rybakina.
Yes, you'd get nothing, would you?
Absolutely poker face. Nothing.
The poker twins.
Massive serving.
Yeah, and no emotion
but
whatsoever.
But no emotion. They would be a dream team. Maybe the Fritz-Rybakina combination is a combination that works, but I think this. Isabel's driving back from Northern California to Southern California. Thank you for accompanying me on the drive. Well, drive carefully, Isabel. Thank you for listening. Well, that was a very quick love hold from Novak Djokovic for 5-4 first set. Valentin Royer is 2 sets up on a break up on Hugo Delian. Lorenzo Sonego is a set up on Pierre Hugobert. They are on serve in the second. And Efremova is 3. Oh, set point actually to Sorana Cîrstea, the 18th seed. They've gone down a different direction now, haven't they?
I believe this is going to be some sort of dance mashup.
I think they're appealing to the younger people within Philippe Chatrier. I feel we can talk through this one.
I think we're fine with this one. Todd, thank you very much for your email. Empress and Lady, a few Roland Garros's ago, you asked listeners for themed nicknames for players. Someone came up with Sitsy Pants. You read it out. I think I read it out, possibly. Thank you for your impeccable teamwork. But thank you for your email, Todd. Do keep them coming. Keep the messages coming, as we say. You're our favourite member of the team. Love your emails. Love your messages.
Who, Todd?
Collectively.
I thought you'd suddenly found a favourite listener.
Singling. I have no favourite listeners.
Well, it sounded like you did. Remember, you are our favourite.
As fond as I am of Todd.
You are our favourite. I apologise to all our other listeners that Eleanor now has favourites.
I do not have favourites.
Giovanni Impeshi Perricard.
I love you all equally.
4-5. Thunders the serve down, comes back mid-court, cracks the forehand down the line, goes long from Djokovic. Charles says, I don't think it bodes well for Djokovic if this goes 5 today. What do you think Novak's chances of making any sort of run if he's on court 3.5 hours plus in round one, asking for a few million friends?
I think there are pluses and minuses about him having lots of time on court at this stage. One is he's very short of match practice and he will benefit from spending time on court, but you're absolutely right, his body may not benefit from him spending time on court. So it's a sort of mind over body, isn't it? The mind needs matches, the brain needs matches, the body needs as little time on court as possible.
I think we're up to around 4. A little rat-a-tat-tat at the net over the head of Djokovic, who lofts the ball up, trying to get over the head of the French, and he's going to pat that away, which he does.
Lynn is listening in central Alberta, Canada. So glad to listen to you inspiring women again. And she sent a picture of her dog and Dogs are okay, she said. Sorry, she sent a picture of a cat. Dogs are okay. Here is my Zen master cat.
One year we had donkeys, remember?
We did.
Pigeons, well, that was for another reason altogether.
What a performance! It's ridiculous! Absolutely ridiculous!
Prenez vos places, s'il vous plaît. Merci.
Radio Roland Garros.